There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. Phone number 343-0106. Same for the text line, 343-0106. A lot of texts. We'll get to these later on in the hour. I will put this out. Maybe as John and Drew are getting to the car right about now. I didn't see this, Monty, while John was still in the studio. But he said, since the passing of James Earl Jones, tell John he can easily fill that role. Let's not... Listen, we're going to get... If we don't want to get I want to keep JY doing law enforcement stuff, but yes, he could do voiceover work big time, Monty. I agree. Problem is, that's he wouldn't be on the streets keeping us safe. So I'm kind of torn. Yes, he has a career ahead of him in voiceover work for sure. All right, let's talk to this man, Dale Leash, LanyapMobile.com. Check it in from. Are you at the worldwide headquarters right now?
Me?
Yeah, are you at the worldwide headquarters of Lanyap? Is that where you're calling from?
I am not. I'm in my vehicle off-site.
You're on assignment.
Well, let's say that. I'm on assignment.
Have you ever noticed that in TV news? They're always like, if somebody's gone, they're on assignment. No, they're just not there.
Well, they just don't want you to know that they're on vacation somewhere, you know, and their house is empty. no, I don't know if that's the case. I kind of weave this into my lunch break, so I'm still out, but I'll be back to the office soon.
Okay, so if they're listening, yeah. So Dale is accounted for. Hey, I would have been talking for a week, I guess, since I first saw you about this time last week when we first saw the memo that came out from Governor Ivey's office, or was it the week before that was asking for. Commissioner of Alabama Department of Veteran Affairs Kent Davis to step down from his job. Now, you know, there's a lot of talk about it and the whys and this and that. And I guess now he's said he is going to go ahead and step down.
He is. He said in a statement that it was probably the best thing for himself, for the state, and for veterans if he stepped aside. At the end of the year, so he's going to be in place until December 31st, and then he'll step aside, and at that point, the state board of Veterans Affairs will appoint someone else, because that is who can hire and fire the VA commissioner. It's not the governor. It's not a cabinet position. It is literally. The job of the State Board of Veterans Affairs to make that call. So we'll see.
But it is just one remove, right? Because the governor can appoint people to that board to then make that decision.
Correct. And she's the chair. Well, no, she's the chairperson of that board. The individual veterans groups appoint the members.
I know, but they appoint some, but isn't there like... Aren't there like two that she named?
Them.
Okay, maybe that's it.
Oh yeah, she can remove them. I don't know if she has the authority to name anybody. I know she can remove them. She's the chair of the board, so she can, you know, she can call special meetings like we saw with, you know, we almost had Lanyap almost had to go to Montgomery a couple of days ago to see what would happen with that special meeting, which I thought would have not gone the governor's way. So I was a little bit, to be honest with you, me and I think everybody else a little bit surprised that Admiral Davis stepped down, went ahead and submitted his resignation, given that I was pretty sure that the votes weren't there on the board to let him go, which would have opened up, and maybe this is why he stepped aside, would have opened up a huge can of worms for the governor's office insofar as he would have had to systematically remove all of the board members, and they'd have to start from scratch in order to get what she wanted. So she got what she wanted anyway, and I think that's probably what it was, sort of like, hey, don't make this any worse than it has to be. Let's go ahead and, you know, make bygones, you know, bygones be bygones, and call it a day. And I think that's what it, eventually happened.
Does this change now with the fact that he's going to step down at the end of the year? Any more of the questions, though, about, I think it's a regular person, fair question. You know, I know they said he did things and they listed some things that he did inappropriately. Was that through omission or commission, right? I mean, was he just, you know, was filing for something he was ignorant that it would mess up the ARPA money, or was it by design? I mean, I think those are, we need to learn from something. And
I got to be careful because I don't want to say too much, because the ethics complaints were dismissed, right? The ethics complaint that he made against a number of people have mm-hmm. all been dismissed. So I won't go too far into that. But if you were to say that circumstances beyond his control led the agency to losing that money, and that money going to the state employees' health insurance and the PHIP insurance, I would tell you that, yes, circumstances beyond his control led to it. And maybe it was ignorance. Maybe it was something else. But, yeah, absolutely. I don't think he had as much control over it as the governor's office would want you to believe. But that's literally what I feel comfortable saying.
Okay. It's fair enough. We have to deal in facts on your side. You're a journalist.
Yeah.
I try to analyze this, and I realize in situations like this, I don't know every part of it. I know it annoys some people. They're like, why didn't you come down definitively? I said, well, after 31 years in broadcasting, I've seen enough things to know that you sometimes wait a little bit to see all the details. But I think the details are important. Even with him saying he's going to step down and resign, if there was something to be learned here by the state, by veterans group, I think we would miss an opportunity to learn if these things aren't brought to light, you know?
I will say, I think a good thing to learn from on the state level is that when you're dealing with money from the federal government that has to be earmarked and ready to go by a certain point, maybe it's better not to play politics with that money and get it distributed as quickly as possible, given the rules that were set in place for you. Maybe you don't like those rules. Maybe you wish they were different. But at the end of the day, you got to stop playing around with the money if you want to keep it. So I think that's part of it. And I think that on the local level there was some politics played with the ARPA money. I think mm-hmm. on the state level for sure there was some politics played with the ARPA money. Nobody wants to give the money to the wrong entities and have that like blow up in their face. We've seen that time and time again. With COVID money and with other things, so I understand that concern. But I think at the end of the day, you know, if more people were to work together on the state level to distribute money to groups that everyone agreed were above the above board, you could have avoided this problem. But too often politics and personalities come into play, and it really gets in the way of helping people. And I think if you're going to take one lesson away from all of this without getting too far in the weeds of blaming or pointing the fingers, it's just maybe we need to work harder at working together.
Yep. Or let AI take over and just AI makes the decisions.
No, we don't need any AI. AI doesn't know. I mean, AI is going to get better, and that's terrifying to me.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me John Henry if you want to. I think my colleague Scott said Paul Bunyan. He meant John Henry. Call me John Henry. I'm not ready to buy into the AI revolution yet.
I just wonder if you use that to make the decisions, because it reminds me of last week's conversation as well, which was interesting. After we got done talking, several people were texting in to get the contact info for this Helios group, and we talked about that they are coming in with the city of Mobile to make sure things like this don't happen. They know how to apply this opioid settlement money, right? And they're
and I think it's that's different than AI. I hear what you're, that's more math, the more math and like that's more math based. Am I splitting hairs here? Sure. I don't think that that's necessarily AI based. That is like
Oh, you're wrong, but go ahead.
That is like data-driven, fact-driven analysis to determine what the best use of the money is. That's a little bit different than using AI to, like, you know, hey, tell me who to give these opioid funds to. It's a little bit different than that. But I hear what you're saying. They are using technology as a way to help determine what group should get the city's first allotment of, what is it, $2.2 million? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different. I respect what they're doing, and I'm very excited to see what the process is like going forward when we, you know, we have about a month left on the RFPs for groups to come in and ask for money for the purpose of, you know, dealing with opioid and drug addiction and stuff. So I think, you know, the next month and what we see from the RFPs and what the outcome of that is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, last week when you talked about it, I felt the same way. Whatever mechanism, be it this group, AI, whatever, that would go, tell you what, we have groups out here that are already doing good work. Instead of having to invent bureaucracy, this, that, or the other,
right,
here's the money. Let's talk. What groups are making the biggest difference? What groups are proving themselves, right? What out there's a best practice? And then just, right, let's get more of that. Let's fund more of that. Instead of saying, we're going to do a whole new thing.
I think the issue you run into there, and the issue that these sorts of programs like Helios has is trying to avoid is politics, right?
Mm-hmm. That's where,
you know,
I am.
And again, I appreciate that, and I hope it works. I think that it will, because, you know, nobody wants to get caught in a situation where they're like, oh, this is the, you know, this is an example. This is the mayor's favorite charity, and it's getting all of this money. You can avoid all that if you say, well, we did a third party that used a computer model or a series, mm-hmm, of computer models to determine who would best use that money. That's, people are still going to argue that their group, you know, maybe their group got left out. Well, my group does this, this, and this, you know. It's still not going to be a perfect system. I don't think you're never going to make everybody happy or understand, especially when money's involved. But I think that this is a way to kind of cut down on some of the speculation. There's still going to be speculation, but I think you're going to cut down on it a little bit. But again, we have to see what happens with the process, how clean it is, how efficient it is, and whether or not, you know, people, what the reaction is once it happens, I guess. But yeah, not everyone's going to be happy, but I think they're trying to make it as painless as possible.
All right. I want to move to something. This story is, as I kind of gather during the year, because at the end of the year, we kind of do the top stories, you know, for the last year. And any variant of library books, banning library boards, to me, is going to be one of my contenders come the end of the year. This has come back up here in Mobile, in the Mobile Council meeting.
But yeah, Mobile had been sort of, we've written a cover story about it in Mobile, so it wasn't completely immune, but Mobile has been pretty much pretty quiet on that front for a long while when all of this other stuff was happening in Prattville and Baldwin County, stuff like that. You didn't see it as much in Mobile. It's kind of been, the issue has been raised at the most recent council meeting. And really, you know, unlike with other cities, other outside of funding, I don't know how involved the city council can get in the content of the library. They're run by a separate board that is appointed. Granted, it is appointed by the city council, so I guess they could take their appointments, they could hire and fire new people, whatever they wanted to do on that regard. But as far as the content of the library, it is up to the library board, and I think even the state library board has some say as well. But nonetheless, yeah, we had Melissa Gates come with a group of folks and complain about some of the content of the library and some of the funding for the library given that content. So, I wrote about it as part of the council story. There's a lot of stuff going on.
All right. People want to read more about this and so many stories daily, laying that being like a daily online. How do they get signed up to get that access?
LagnetMobile.com is the website. You know, just click through. You can subscribe like that. Right now, you know, it's $1 for the first month, and it goes up after that. We also now have daily passes for $1. If there's a story you really want to read, but you don't want to, so many commitophobes out there, if you don't want to commit to a whole month or a whole year, you can read it for a day. You know, if there's a story you really want, a really big, juicy story you want to read, it'll cost you $1, but you can get a day pass, and then you don't have to worry about, you know, canceling it any, you know, it'll go away. So you can do that. Or you can read the paper copies that come out once a week in the purple boxes. We, like I said, we're local. All the money you give to us is spent locally, feeds our family, stuff like that. So we really appreciate it.
All right, Dale, as always, we appreciate it. I like how people have the a la carte option there to get signed up. I think they'll get hooked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff, man. Yeah, get back to the office. We'll talk to you soon.
I will. Thanks.
All right. There goes Dale Legion. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right. 125 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. 343-0106, 343-0106. I do think, like, AI might, maybe that's a place where it would grow. And, like, how you define, you know, what groups, if you have money coming in, grant money, who gets them. I'm thinking, what would AI have done? I mean, seriously, what if you had some kind of AI technology? Dalton and I were in here messing with some yesterday afternoon, just the way it can... Like, take one of our radio shows and make a print news story out of it. It's wild. But what if you had the program or AI to make the judgments on the Medical Cannabis Commission, right? And you put in the parameters. Remember when the legislation went through, it created the Medical Cannabis Commission. Then they have this series of things you're scored on, right? There's certain things you have to have to be a player. You have to have some portion of the company had to be Alabama ownership. And then, you know, you had the area where you were in the vertical integration. You could be somebody who does it all. You could be somebody who's just a grower, somebody who has a dispensary, somebody who does delivery, security, or whatever the things were. But you were graded on certain things, right? Certain factors. It seems to me you can put that in a program. And I've dealt with it over, you know, last 20 years or so. And I remember my family, kinfolks dealing with it in the ag world. We'll have things through the NRCS and different farm bill programs that you're scored on things, right? It's, are you in this county? Okay, yes. Do you have highly erodible land? Is it, you know, is it row cropped? What do you convert it into? Are there gopher tortoises there? Those kind of things. And then they score them. But what about in something like the Medical Cannabis Commission or this money coming in for groups that want to use it to help with opioid abatement? If you then kind of, you'd have to make sure, because I know the easy argument, and if I'm out there where you are, I'd be texting in too, saying, well, you only get out what you put in. Yes, we'd have to have a situation where the program, the AI or the actual just the input program was foolproof. But you enter in the thing, okay, here is Jane Smith wants to apply for this money. Jane Smith's, you know, cannabis company does this, that, and the other. Here's all the different things, boxes you would have to check. And then the thing spits out who wins it and gets a grant. To me, that would be a lot better than having it go through. And I know they did some of that. They scored these things at the University of South Alabama, but you still have human beings in the mix, and there's all these questions. If you could do this, if you could automate that, do you take some of the politics out of it, or do you take just some of the human beings making a mistake, not dotting an I, not crossing a T in the mix and see where it comes out? Maybe that's a good place to use it. I don't know. All right, y'all's thoughts at 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming back, we'll get more of your text and phone calls. Also, yeah, a lot of texts we got to get to here. Michael says on the AI side, he said, having AI help in the process of running the government. I can't think of anything that would go wrong. Skynet. Right. I'm not giving them the nuclear codes. I'm saying, but what if you made a program? You know, like you're going to, okay, there's going to be government money awarded to to try to tackle this thing, whatever, while we continue to have government trying to solve problems. Then you take it out of humans' hands. We'll have to think this out. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Thursday. By the way, tomorrow, the show from the grounds for the G&D Outdoor Expo. Speaking of the outdoors, too, it depends on, a lot of this stuff, all this stuff with products from Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale, they work on the outdoors, but this outdoors I'm talking about is like hunting season, that kind of stuff. Let's check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Blaine, what do you got for people heading to the hunting camp, whether they got work to do or fun to have?
Well, right now, Sean, we're offering on our L-Series tractors, if you buy an L-Series with at least two implements, it can be any two implements, a bush hog, box blade, disc, set of pallet forks. Two implements, you qualify to get a free 7x20 trailer that we're going to throw in on the deal to kind of form up that package. All this does qualify for the zero interest financing through Kubota right now as well.
I love it. And you do have implement wise, you're good. You got mowers.
Absolutely.
You have discs.
Absolutely. We got all the implements that you can think of in stock, bush hogs, finished mowers, discs, tillers, pallet forks, grapples, post hole diggers, a little bit of everything that we can form up into that package deal for you with a 7x20 trailer. Something else we have that people this time of the year really are excited about going with the hunt camp is the side-by-sides. The Kubota side-by-sides, we got them in diesel and gas models. We got two truckloads of them in this morning, both camo, orange, and I think I've seen a black one on there as well.
You know, and I've got the 900 RTV diesel. I love it, but it's troublesome for me when I come visit you because, you know, you go 5 or 6 years and these things just get more luxury. I mean, they're just more comfort-based. I mean, they still got the same great engines I'm running, but these things are like, now, I don't know, Kubota said, all right, well, maybe some of these people want to act like they're in their car when they're on the UTV and RTV.
That's right. And we do, you know, for the ones that have already got one, they might want to upgrade. We do take trade-ins on everything, whether it be a mower, a zero-turn mower, a side-by-side tractor, skid steer, whatever it is. We do take trade-ins on all of it.
Sometimes I feel like Blaine's speaking directly to me. Right. So, Blaine, tell me and everybody else listen how to come see you.
We're right here in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon, or give us a call at 251-947-4171.
And thanks, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine Price from the place with all the orange tractors and camo RTVs and all that good stuff, a Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Let's see here. Gosh, we're going to go back here. Did I miss any from our earlier conversation? I always get a lot when talk to John and Drew with Men Unite Against Violence. Steve says, lack of boots on the ground by the police department, let them run wild is the problem. Yeah, I don't, what you saw is there's an improvement. So I don't know. They can't be every, I know what the improvement is, Steve, and if, I hope you're still listening, and John and Drew were talking about it, because they have two capacities. I mean, we're in this group called Men Unite Against Violence, but they are also police officers. Is the fact that people are starting in our community to say something. Right, to say something, because the police officers can't be everywhere, right? It takes people in the community to go, those are the people that did it, that's where they're hiding. You do that, you get them off the streets, and you get the drop in crime. It was something I had to learn talking to law enforcement folks over the decades. I had, and I don't know why I had this idea, I thought there was a more even distribution, and I don't mean like everybody, but I just thought, if you heard there were 300 burglaries, right? I was like, oh, you know, I'm picturing 200 people doing 300, and it's not, it's 10 people do it. Like the number of people that do the crimes is small. So you can make a, you get those people off the street, you can make a difference out there. Let's see the, Hal said our per capita homicide rate is higher than that of L.A. or San Fran, according to 2023 stats. Like today, or I have to look at that. Hal, so send me a link to that. This unnamed texter said, Sean said the crime statistics have fallen substantially, and yet we fired the police chief who made it happen. What the heck? What the heck? CB Carl said, I know you were a wee one then, but the changes in the last 45 years since Frederick are sadly amazing. I remember when Gulf Shores started advertising all the way up to Michigan and the like, and they were going to build back bigger and better. Well, they got bigger, right? So, yeah, I was, Frederick, I was seven. And it kind of reminded me hearing Dalton talk about Ivan. I was young enough that, you know, obviously remember it, but I did. And I, of course, in my family, if you're awake, you were working of some sort, but I didn't have to do the work that grownups did back then. The way Dalton was saying, yeah, he remembered Ivan that way. You were engaged then, but you weren't working. I do remember that. And I do remember the difference in Gulf Shores. I remember it would have been after Frederick, 81 or so. So mom and dad got a house down there, 81 or so. And it was, you know, to go down there now and remember what it was like back then. It's obviously a big change. Time moves on. How many, you know, and yes, Carl, CB Carl, I'm with you. I mean, I would like things to be, you know, you sometimes whenever you like it, you want it to be a freeze frame of what it was like at this point in your life when you think it was perfect. But don't you know our ancestors said the same things in the past? And then time marches on. So let's see. Adam says, I don't know anything other than what I've heard. I can see the governor might want to change leadership, but I can totally not understand why she axed John Kilpatrick. And she said the reason was he is a distraction. What BS? That old lady is a tyrant. Hopefully I'll get John back. John's been on with us several times. Hopefully, and Vets Recover here locally, a good guy, and get John back on in the future to talk about continuing what's going on with Vets Recover. But his interpretation of what happened there with the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. And let's see, Fire Dog. There isn't any intelligence. There isn't any intelligence going on in the state government, so let AI take a run at it or put Ricky in charge. Okay, put Ricky in charge. Like, do we elect him or just does he just take power? A Ricky Junta. I don't know that I want it running the legislature. I want the human beings, and I'm not sure this concrete's completely dry on this yet. I want the human beings setting up the ideas and the laws and all that. I'm saying, but if you have things like the Medical Cannabis Commission or application of grant money, I mean, even like I said, doing things on farm contracts, my ag people know exactly what I'm talking about. You're scored on different things. You get a program and you're this, that, and the other. And if you score higher, then because quite often in these programs, there are more people that want the farm bill money than there are dollars to go around. So they score you on certain things they're looking to change, or, you know, erosion, or they're looking to protect habitat for this critter or that critter. So you're scored on these things, and it gets you, some people win, some people lose. But if you did that in all these programs, from the thing that keeps irritating me, as you can tell, is a burr under my saddle, the Medical Cannabis Commission, if you put that in some kind of, and I say AI as a catch-all, I'm probably being inaccurate about that, just a program that was binary and made the decisions like if company A, you know, qualified, they get 10 points on this. Company B did not get, they got 5 points. And then get 10 and 5, and you just add it up at the end, then you don't have the implication of humans putting their thumb on the scale. Michael said, unnamed texter, said, I have an idea. Since Biden donned Trump's hat, Trump should make a deal with Biden that if he will support him for president, he will pardon Hunter when he's in office. Biden should do it as a revenge against all those who pushed him out. Here's the rub, texter. And I know there's people probably are still that would do what Joe Biden says. I think it would be a detriment. If I'm Donald Trump, the last thing I want to do is have Joe Biden endorse me. Yeah, and the story he's talking about, y'all saw that, right, with the hat thing. I know they talked about it this morning on Mobile Mornings that Biden was in Shanksville I think he's in Shanksville, and he put on the Trump hat. It was a MAGA, or yeah, here it is. It's Trump 2024 hat. Here's a story from Fox News. Biden shocks the internet. Takes a lot to shock the internet. By donning Trump 2024 hat. It says a video of President Biden donning a Trump 2024 hat went viral across X, which is Twitter for us old folks, with several shocked that the image was even real. Biden visited Shanksville Fire Station on Wednesday after participating in a wreath-laying ceremony at the town's memorial site for United Airlines Flight 93, one of the four flights hijacked by Al-Qaeda terrorist on September 11th, 2001. Video of Biden at the station showed the president taking the Trump 2024 campaign hat from a Trump supporter and putting it on top of his own hat in what the White House said was a friendly gesture of unity. Well, I guess now that he's not running, he can do what he said he was going to do when he got elected last time. The image of Biden wearing a Trump 2024 hat quickly took X by storm, many feeling the need to clarify that the video was not fake. And then they just have a bunch of screenshots here from Twitter. So there it is. Speaking of Shanksville, too, you know, think about this yesterday. It is obviously, I mean, you go to Ground Zero, is awing. But for me, Shanksville, and Shanksville is not far to the west of where one side of my people are from in central Pennsylvania, is, you know, rural farming country. They're in the Allegheny Mountains. Shanksville is about 40 minutes away. So a couple times I've taken the ride over there to the memorial. And if you can go through the memorial there and go inside where the effects of the people that were on Flight 93 are put up in the museum, and you can put the headphones on and listen to the phone calls and not tear up, then I don't know. To me, it is, if you leave there and you don't feel the gravity of what happened on 9/11, I don't think anything you could. I probably will take my children because age-wise, they weren't alive. And so if there's ever a point where I think they don't, you know, they don't understand how significant this was, I'll take them to Shanksville and go through there. It is significant for sure. Let's see. Terry said, my grandson used AI to find his research sources for his school papers. I asked why he doesn't let it write his papers. He said it writes like an old person. You know, Terry, I had a story pulled the other day and actually was worried about losing it on my computer because I'm an old person. So I printed it out. Axios had a story. They had an interview with this guy. He's a professor, computer technology professor, I think at Penn State. I'll go pick it up off the floor in my office here before too long, and we'll read the story. That he said the technology, so they're using AI against AI. So the kids could use AI to cheat on a paper, right? And so they've created other programs that are supposed to spot the use of AI to write a paper. Well, the AI is like anything technology-wise. It's like always law enforcement's and the government's always a couple steps behind people that are doing wrong. Same thing on the AI. Like the AI that's used to bust the kids or using AI to write the papers is months behind. So it keeps getting better, and they keep chasing these kids. They keep chasing these kids to, we'll run it through, you know, you kids turn these papers in, we're going to run it through the program. And then the AI has gotten better at a faster pace, and they can't keep up with it. All right. Let's see. Unnamed texter said, Sean, I remember Camille. I was five. Camille was before my time. So Camille was, but I've heard the stories growing up about Camille. And Bill said, humans program the AI, but what about self-learning AI? Humans program, and that's what everybody's worried about, right? When it becomes sentient. Says humans program the self-learning algorithms. Thumbs are always on the scale when money and power is involved. Yes, but at least, Bill, we could look at it and run, like, say you had the program. And I'm not saying anything, there's nothing on this earth that's perfect. But you could run it and test it, right? And see that it, like, okay, we put in on this end, here are the applicants to whatever program it is. And we scored one this way, this way, this way. What does it spit out? I think that's a... And then, I don't know. We probably still would debate whether it was done fairly or not. You're probably right. Nah, the hell with the whole thing, right? Be right back. More of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
What if we have like, and hey, Clint Jameson, if you're listening, what about self-driving e-bikes out there? The techs, when's the technology going to go there? I hope not, because I actually enjoy the process of riding my e-bike from Adventure with Bicycles. So a lot of folks are riding non-e-bikes from there as well. He's got 400 in stock that are not electric. I mean, road bikes, the hybrid bikes. He's got these things, gravel bikes, which is like another, you know, you used to have like mountain bikes, kind of hybrids, and then like road bikes. And well, there's another denomination, I guess, of bicycles in there. I learned from Clint, the gravel bikes that are more road bike than a hybrid, but still can ride on dirt roads. That's, you know, for safety's sake. And he'll come out and ride around where I live in West Mobile County as well. Those gravel bikes, real popular as well. Me, I'm on the e-bike and I do love it. And I've told you all the kind of the thing that you didn't expect is the fact that it's an electric bike. I get more exercise. And the reason why is human beings, not technology, is because I put it in this eco mode that it has, where it just kicks in when I, you know, going up a hill or something like that. And when it kicks in, it just makes it more fun to ride. So I ride more days, more hours, and get more exercise. If it wasn't fun, I wouldn't ride it. So, I mean, there's some of y'all that, you know, are going to be, you know, ride the regular bike and ride up the hill and enjoy that every day. Some of us might just want to go out for a bike ride. And the e-bike has made that part of my life here in my 50s. He has 75 of the e-bikes in stock, a bunch of different manufacturers, different kind of bikes, waiting for you to take a test ride. And that's the most fun, because you can say, hey, here's what I think I want to do with the bike. Here's what I might do with the bike. And he'll say, hey, you try to ride that one, that one, that one. You get to take a test ride and see which bike is right for you. Plus, he does all the service work on it. You buy it. You buy a bike, e-bike or regular bike, from Adventure Earth Bicycles quarterly. They'll do all the service work for free on your bike. And if you've got one that you didn't buy from there but needs some work and you want to get the kids' bikes ready to go or anything like that, they're a good old-fashioned bike shop, and they can do those repairs and adjustments right there here in Mobile at Adventure Earth Bicycles at Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, right near Ruth's Chris. Check them out online, adventure-earth.com. Everything inside to get y'all and me outside. Adventure Earth Bicycles. Go say hello to my man, Clint. All right, to the text line here. And people ask about tomorrow. Yeah, so we will be there for the Outdoor Expo. So two shows, but we'll be there throughout it. We got a booth, so please stop by. I've got the FM Talk 106.5 buckets, you know, these the super buckets with the rope handles and the throw handle on the bottom. Not just your regular Home Depot bucket. We're talking about next level buckets. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Good buckets with our logo on them. Be giving those away tomorrow and Saturday at the Outdoor Expo. Also, some gun locks. So if you're somebody doesn't have a safe, you know, and you got, I often talk about this for like grandparents. If you keep the kids, and you're like, you have no reason to have the guns locked up, even though you probably should for theft and fire, but you don't have the guns locked up. You put one of these locks through them. The gun, kids messing with guns aren't going to get hurt. We're giving those away tomorrow. So huggers and stickers, all kind of good logoed stuff from FM Talk 106.5. But we'll do Midday Mobile noon to 2 tomorrow, and then Mike Ward and I from 11 to noon on Saturday. You come look at Mike as we do the outdoor show on location. All right, to the text line here. Let's see. Michael says the current is ripping at the bubble up hole on the causeway, and the birds are working it hard. I probably shouldn't have read that out loud. You think they're trout? You think that? Well, why did I read that out loud? Although I have to go home and get the boat, Michael, but maybe they'll still do it tomorrow. Let's see here. Chris says the Trade Center Memorial in New York is one of the most touching places I've ever been. In the 9/11 Memorial Museum has the headphone calls. They are heartbreaking. Yeah, so Chris, the same thing at Shanksville. You put the headset on and you're looking at the effects of these people, the stuff they picked out of the wreckage there in Shanksville. And it's like, I mean, talking about it gets me. If you think people are disconnected from what happened on 9/11, take them to either there in New York or take them to Shanksville and look at them afterwards and ask them if they get it now. Adam said, I turned a book report in one time. When she graded it, she told me she had already read the Cliff Notes. Remember that stuff, Adam? Cliff Notes? I know you do. Being like, man, I got the Cliff Notes on the, you know, Hound of the Baskervilles or whatever. It's like you were trading in, like, secrets or something, like somebody handing it to you, like, here is the file, like you're James Bond. The old Cliff Notes, man. Instead of just reading the book, I can't say I was above it. I read some Cliff Notes myself. Chris says, because Daddy was single, he had to stay in town during Frederick. He sent my butt to Tuscaloosa with my grandmothers. We're exploded up there for Frederick. He had to stay at Brookley Field. Yep. At least Brookley, right? Chris, we know a lot of the same people. At least they had those big generators, those airplane generators there, and they had some power. Pat says, that's the only reason I have a safe in case of fire. And let me do for a second here, just do a pitch. So Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, got them in my home. That's the reason. I'm probably not keeping anything important in there, but I have them because of fire protection and theft protection. So check them out. Hey, they'll be out at the Outdoor Expo as well. Paul Feinbaum next. See y'all tomorrow.